For the thousands fleeing Syria's flames and bombs and chaos, the nation of Hungary has a response as of this week. Try and forcibly cross our newly constructed border fence and face prosecution. Tear gas and water cannon have also been used on migrants today by Hungarian authorities enforcing the now closed border with Serbia. Arrest by Hungarian authorities, though, might feel more like sanctuary and an upgrade to hundreds of refugees currently trapped in a no-man's land between Hungary and Serbia. Joining me now from the Serbia-Hungary border is Lise Doucette, chief international correspondent for the BBC. Lise, is Hungary going to be able to turn this pathway into Western Europe a dead end?
Well, it certainly feels like a dead end, John. Yesterday, this last stretch of motorway was transformed into a place of protest as hundreds of people who arrived there expecting it to be just another crossing on their way further north and west into Europe found themselves with a huge metal barrier slammed shut. And they started protesting, shouting slogans like open, open, Europe, Europe, and even at one end where there was wire netting, and in a quieter tone, some of the migrants, most of them refugees there, said open, open to the Hungarian guards they could see, and the Hungarians looked back and shrugged and said, we lost the key. Now, overnight, that place of protest was transformed into really an open-air motel with people putting up tents, putting down bedding, bits of foil, paper bags, plastic, whatever they could find, and by morning, this early this morning when we visited, it was a tented village with about 60 tents there and some 2,500 people camped through the night. But it doesn't look like they're going anywhere. So many of them, and indeed we ourselves, are on our way to the western border of Syria towards Croatia, where people are now beginning to cross on foot from there.
What is the range of people you're finding among these migrants in terms of economic prosperity, their ability to travel, the conditions that they were leaving in Syria?
That is a big question, John. In fact, I think it is one of the most important questions now. I'm getting lots of people saying to me, Lise, these are not refugees. They're just economic migrants. Or other people saying, why are you calling them migrants? They're all refugees. Reality, especially when you're talking about a massive displacement of people, the biggest since the Second World War, doesn't fit into neat binary categories. And I can say from having watched this for the past few weeks, this human stream is really changing character and shape as the weeks go on. It seems clear, and UN officials confirm this, that it's still predominantly Syrian, but we're seeing growing numbers from two other war-torn countries, Afghanistan and Iraq, and we're also seeing people coming from countries where there really isn't a war, but there's a country which is failing in so many ways. And so we've met people from West Africa, even from places like Ghana. We've seen people coming from Pakistan. I said to one man, is there a war in Pakistan? He said, oh, the bombs are going off in Lahore. And yes, in the last few days, I've seen many Syrians coming from what I would regard as the relatively safe parts of Syria. No part of Syria is untouched by war, but they're coming from neighborhoods in central Damascus that I have visited many times. They're places where houses are still standing, where life goes on. But of course, it's a life where many Syrians believe they don't have a future. We've met Syrian families who've sold their house, sold their car, got on a plane, left the country, and are hoping to make a better lives for their children somewhere else. Even yesterday, late last night, as we were leaving the border crossing, one man came up to us and I asked where he was from. And he said, well, I'm Syrian, but I've been living in Dubai. And I said, Dubai? Why would you want to leave Dubai? And he goes, well, you know, I'm not able to make as much money there, but I'm going off to get a better life for my children in Germany. And they said, would you like to join us? We're going to cook some food now. Those are a minority. But I think we have to begin to ask, if a space is now opening up at last for those people destitute and desperate, in need of a refuge, we can't have it that the people who need that refuge less or don't need a refuge in terms of the definition at all, we can't have those spaces closing. They must go to the people who need them to most, because those who need it the most desperately need them.
Lise Doucette, chief international correspondent for the BBC in the border zone between Serbia and Hungary and Croatia. Thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
So what is Hungary's official policy about the migration crisis, its border, and the building of transit camps for the people fleeing Syria? Zoltán Kovács is the Hungarian government spokesman. How many of the people on the border between Serbia and Hungary would you describe as asylum shoppers?
Well, that's what we exactly would like to know, and that's indeed why we have stepped up against illegal border crossing. It's the best interest of those genuine refugees, and that they could be differentiated from those who are coming only in the hope of a better life. Unfortunately, EU statistics show that the majority of those for the past year, 2 years, who applied for asylum somewhere in Europe were, as a matter of fact, these were economic migrants. So they were looking for a better life. It was only a minority who was eligible for political asylum.
Mr. Kovács, in Syria, the civil war has gone on since 2011. Isn't looking for a better life a reasonable expectation?
No, but that's indeed the point actually you made. Nothing happened for the past couple of months that would justify the sudden increase, the skyrocketing numbers of those who are arriving to Europe. Most definitely, living in a refugee camp or in a shelter next to Syria, in Turkey or in Lebanon, there are established ways of applying for asylum all around the world, including the Genève Convention back in 1951. The European Union has protocols as of the moment. Nobody keeps them, apart from Hungary. And what we see is a basically disorderly, undisciplined flood of illegal migrants entering the European Union. And indeed, once within the Schengen zone, they would really like to decide about where they apply for asylum. Now, that's against all international conventions and law.
Wouldn't you say, though, the Syrian situation is a unique set of circumstances that the Schengen protocols doesn't necessarily anticipate?
So bear in mind that these people try to travel through a number of countries. As a matter of fact, to reach Hungary, they have to travel at least four countries. And the first entry point, Greece, is already in the European Union. Obviously, there's no war, there's no prosecution. The Macedonia and Serbia are not member states, but most definitely there's no war and prosecution. So obviously, it is a journey over 1,000 kilometers to the Hungarian border, which obviously questions the very nature of the journey. Are they genuine refugees taking an illegal way, paying lots of money to reach the European Union without discipline, this is again illegally, and apply for asylum wherever they want? And that's indeed a problem we are trying to face and address here.
Do you understand, Zoltán, that some might construe what you're saying as the only genuine refugee are people who have to be miserable before they come, having stayed in refugee camps, etc., that people who pay to get out of Syria in the middle of a civil war for whatever reason don't constitute real refugees? They have to be miserable to qualify in your terms?
Now, most definitely, and apparently there is a collision of, if you like, morality and the legal approach. But it is the best interest of those actually who are genuine refugees, whose life is in immediate danger, to be able to be separated, to be able to be differentiated from those, again, who are trying to misuse the European system. And again, imagine that situation happening in the United States. And I think that would really much take you closer, actually, to understanding what really is happening. In your country, you have probably the toughest migration rules and policy around the world. That doesn't mean that refugees who are really fleeing for their lives cannot come to the United States. And this is the thing, actually, what we believe that it's not only Hungary, but it should be the European Union in general, should be reestablishing. It is very unfortunate that for the past couple of years, the illegal way basically institutionalized reaching the European Union. It hasn't caused lots of problems and the drama up until figures and numbers started to skyrocket. Let alone Hungary has received over 200,000 illegal migrants this year. It's going to reach over 1 million around Europe. And it's completely unacceptable, it's completely unhandleable that these people come illegally. We don't even know who they are. So even if you state that they are coming from Syria, we can't check them because they come illegally. And it turns out that of the 200,000 people who have come to Hungary, less than one-third even claim to come from Syria. And others are coming from more than 100 countries all around the world. That clearly indicates that what we are facing is not a refugee crisis. This is a mass migration crisis. And again, we have to address that accordingly. And I'm really sorry to say, but if you like, the moral standpoint, which has always been with us, and obviously we all see these personal or family dramas evolving in Hungary and in front of our eyes, cannot be handled if the rule of law is not restored.
So you would prefer to have people drowning in the Aegean Sea than to have, them welcomed in without the perfect paperwork that you describe here?
Well, that's a strange question, because that's exactly what we are trying to prevent. Again, you have to understand, people are not fleeing from Syria through the seas. People are coming from Turkey. And again, Turkey is a safe country, or at least a lot safer than Syria itself. So what you witness is that these people are risking their lives to reach a better life, or even if going for asylum. But still, it shouldn't be done. That's not the way.
Zoltán Kovács is the Hungarian government spokesman. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.